that you will speak the truth of your word through me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in a series entitled, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The first one we found out, believe. And believe doesn't mean just to have a head belief, but it means to commit yourself, to put your total trust in. And of course, that's in Jesus Christ. Then we talked about repent, which means not only a change of mind, but a change of direction. It means to be guilty or sorry for the sins that you've done and to change your direction to go another way. Today we're going to talk about obey. And this is a very important aspect of salvation. Our text is in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus said, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man, wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I heard a story once about a mother that took her young son to church, and they were visiting, and they sat in the back pew, and the back pew was empty except for them. And while the minister was talking, the boy kept getting up and running up and down the pew, and she'd set him down and tell him to sit still, and he'd get up and run up and down the pew. About the third time she'd had enough, she took him out of the auditorium into the nursery and gave him a spanking. And she scolded him and said, when I tell you to sit down and be quiet, that's what I mean. And if I have to tell you again, you're going to get another spanking. So she took him in there, set him down. And a few minutes later, he was being quiet, and she looked at him. And the little boy looked at her very defiantly and said, Mama, I might be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up. And, you know, I think that there's times been in my life that I've had that same attitude as this child. Beginning in chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is preaching a message to the people and to his disciples. It became known as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. And when he finished speaking, Matthew said that the people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not like the teachers of the religious law. If you're familiar with that, Jesus was speaking about the law, and he was also condemning the traditions of men. You remember at one point he condemned the Pharisees. He said, you make the word of God void by inserting your traditions in it. We have to be very careful of that. God's word doesn't need our help. God's word is the truth. We don't add to it, we don't take away from it. And one instance, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love the Lord and hate your enemy. But I say, not very many men were considered qualified to do that in his day, and the Pharisees definitely didn't like him doing it. They asked him at one point, who gave you that authority? He hadn't been to their seminaries. He didn't hold a degree like they held. So they thought he was overstepping his authority, but the crowds were amazed at the way he taught, because they said he teaches like someone who has authority. In this text we're looking at today, Jesus confirmed that authority, as far as I'm concerned. And he taught the people that we must obey him. Now, this wasn't new to the nation of Israel. God did the same thing. When he handed Moses the law, when he gave Moses the law and Moses read it to the people, God told them that they were to obey him. Another word is used as synonymous as observe. Observe my law, observe my statutes, keep them. And the motivation for that was to be love. Just like that little boy, he wasn't sitting still because of his love for his mama. It's because his rear end was stinging and he didn't want that again. So it was a fear of punishment. And he said to her, I'm still standing on the inside. The Lord said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That was the beginning of the law. It's called the Shema here. And God in that told the Israelites, this is to be your motivation. You're to obey me because you love me. You're to love my word. You're to love me. You're to love my commandments. And here again, there's belief. You're to trust me that I know what I'm doing, that I know what I'm saying. You ever have somebody give you advice that you were a little iffy about? You didn't know if you could trust that advice? God's not that way. God said, you can trust me, and I want you to obey me. He also instructed them, when they went into the land of Canaan, they were dispossessing the Canaanites who worshipped a lot of different gods, and they had very barbaric practices. God cited that they even burned their children in the fire to worship these gods. So God advised them, he said, when you get there, and I start driving these nations out, you destroy all those altars, you destroy the idols, the images, you cut down their worship groves, you tear down their temples. He said, I don't want you to have that there, because you may become distracted, you may become curious, and you may decide that you want to try to worship like they do. So in that case, obedience was for their benefit. Because God said, if you begin to worship the way these people worshiped, and you begin to worship these other gods, I will judge you just like I judge them. So their obedience was to their benefit. It was for their protection. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, they didn't do what God said. And sure enough, they began to worship the Canaanite gods, and God had to judge them. Israel split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was taken captive by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom was taken captive by the Babylonians. And God told them, now I've become your enemy. And it was because they refused to obey. Sometimes when we're given instructions or orders, I remember as a child sometimes I didn't like that. And when I got older, I realized my parents were doing that for my good. And they expected that obedience. And it was to my benefit to obey. So Jesus is saying the same thing to his followers that day, to the people that wanted to follow him. He said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's a reward for obedience. Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. You will have a deeper walk with me if you will obey me. Now, we've talked about belief and repentance. That takes both of them. And obedience takes something else that's very important, or you cannot be saved. It's called humility. God said in his word through the prophets, if you exalt yourself, I'll humble you. But if you will humble yourself, I will exalt you. And humility is hard, especially for men. We don't like to be humble. We like to think we're right about everything. We like to think we know everything. We don't like being corrected. But in order to be saved, we must be humble. If you're familiar with the book of James, James said to the church, meekly receive the engrafted word of God. Humbly receive it. Receive it with meekness so that you may be saved. You have a choice whether to receive the word. You have a choice whether to reject it. You have a choice whether you're going to obey God, and you have the choice not to obey him. Now, as Jesus said in his parables, it comes with consequences if you refuse to obey God. Israel found that out. And the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that God recorded these things so the church could learn from their example. I've had people tell me over the years, well, the Old Testament's just a book of history. It doesn't really apply to the church today. It's not important. Then I've seen other churches that spend way too much time in the Old Testament because they want to bring people under the law. There's a balance there. The Old Testament reveals God, it reveals his character, it shows that he means exactly what he says. He said to Moses, I'm not a man that I should lie, I'm not the son of man that I change my mind. And yet people today accuse God of changing his mind. Well, culture has changed, so God has changed. The things that God forbid in the Old Testament are no longer forbidden. It's like God took some Thorazine and he settled down. He's not mad anymore, so don't worry. Do whatever feels right to you. I remember in my house when my dad laid down the law, there was no compromise or wiggle room. You did what he said or you suffered the consequences. And I was a foolish child because sometimes I'd go ahead and take the consequences just to do what I wanted to do. And I look back on now and I think, how stupid was that? I knew I was going to be punished if I disobeyed my dad, and I chose to disobey him. God's the same way. You know, there's a security church in that. We know where we stand. And you remember what God said about punishment when he asked to punish his people? He said, I don't want to judge you with the world, so I will punish you. I thought my dad punished me just to punish me until I got older and had my own children. Then I realized, no, we have to have those guidelines. We have to have those limits. Just like God warned the Israelites, destroy those idols, wipe out every trace of them, or he said, you're going to be tempted to worship them, and then I'll have to judge you. And that's exactly what happened. They could have saved themselves a whole lot of trouble if they would have obeyed God like he told them to. Jesus is talking about obedience today in this parable, in this illustration, not a parable. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. He didn't say you might. Maybe you'll keep some, but not others. That's not what he said. You see, the motivation for obeying Jesus Christ is love for him. Otherwise, you're not going to obey him. When you love someone, you don't want to offend them. When you love someone, you don't want to disappoint them. You don't want to embarrass them. And that's what Jesus said to his men. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus said, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So see, Jesus was showing his authority to the disciples and to the people of Israel in that day. He just flat come out and said, if you listen to me, you're wise. If you don't, you're foolish. And you're going to suffer the consequences for your foolishness. The Greek word obey means to listen attentively, to take heed, to conform. To conform. When I first became a Christian and started reading the Bible for myself, there were things that I read that I thought, you know, I really don't see that much wrong with it. But I realized that God's word was truth, and if I was going to follow him, I had to conform to what he said. And the world will stand against you. Oh, they'll stand against you. They'll tell you that you're a fool. They'll tell you that you're narrow-minded and bigoted. And the word observe in the Hebrew, when God said, observe my commandments, you know what it means? Think narrowly. Today, that's an insult. Somebody says, well, you're narrow-minded. I take it as a compliment. Because if I'm following the word of God, if I'm following his truth, I'm glad if you think I'm narrow-minded, because that means I'm obeying him. I am narrowly focusing on the word of God. There's no wiggle room. There's black and white. There's no gray area in the truth of God's word. We're the ones that put that there. And we think if we make something a gray area, we won't be judged. God will let us slide by. Well, God, that's a gray area to me. God doesn't think that way. Black and white, right and wrong, good and evil. In the prophet Isaiah, God said to the people of his day, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who exchange light for darkness and call darkness light. And he said to the ones that weren't obeying him, go ahead and walk by your own light. Light your own torches. Walk by your light. And this is what you'll receive from me. You'll lay down in torment. When we try to substitute the truth of God's word for our own relativism and thinking that we know what's good for us, what God say? You're going to lay down in torment. There's not, I think, such a miserable person in the world as a backslidden Christian. You're convicted if you read the word, but you're convicted if you don't read the word. You're convicted when you go to church, but you're convicted if you don't go to church. That's miserable. That's that torment God was talking about. I don't trust myself as a man. I trust what the word says. When God said this is right, I'm assured this is right. If God said this is evil, I'm assured that that's evil. I don't have to question that. Jesus, in this illustration, was saying to the people, you need to pay attention to my words, and you need to do what I tell you. And you notice in his illustration, he doesn't say, and if the storms come, he says, when they come. That's a guarantee. Anybody ever tells me that they've never had any trouble in their lives, I'm going to back up and put my hand in my wallet, because the person that lied to you steal from you too. Life is trouble. Life is full of opposition. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Sometimes God allows suffering to come on us. But one thing that we can be guaranteed of, there will be trouble. And especially if you determine that you're going to follow the Lord and you're going to follow his ways, get ready. The preacher that baptized me, he knew my background. He had the same kind of background. And when I came out of that water, I felt such relief. I just had this peace I'd never had. And he said, brother, I know you think that the devil's not going to bother you anymore. But he said, you just hung a target around your neck. He said, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to warn you. He said, you've become a new creation in Christ. And the world doesn't like that. And the devil doesn't like it. So he said, you're going to face opposition. And boy, he was right. Now, I'm not saying I've had a harder life than anybody else, but boy, I've faced a lot of opposition, a lot of temptation. You don't have to be so rigid. You don't have to be so strict and narrow. You know, you need to have that wiggle room in the Word of God. You need to allow for the gray areas. You need to allow for the norms of society. I was talking to Greg this morning, and I had a psychology class, and I asked the professor, what is abnormal? He said, whatever goes against the norm of society. I said, don't they change? He said, yeah, about every 20 years. So I said, if I disagree with what society calls normal, does that make me abnormal? He goes, well, yeah, by definition, you're abnormal. That's a pressure. I'm convinced that normal's just a setting on a dryer. I've never had anybody really define normal to me. There's what people consider normal. And I don't go by the norms of society because they're fickle. They change every 20 or 30 years. Do you know the truth doesn't change? There is absolute truth, and it comes from God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Greek there is an emphatic tense. He's saying, I am the only way, I am the absolute truth, and I am the source of all life. You have to believe that. You have to put your trust in him and say, you know what, I trust you, and I'm going to lean on you with everything in me. And if you're thinking wrong, you have to say, Lord, I'm going to quit thinking wrong. I'm going to go where you're going. I'm going to follow your lead. And if you have sin, everybody has sin, you need to lay it at his feet and say, I'm not picking that up again. I repent. Jesus said that we have to base our lives, we have to build our lives on what he's taught us, what the Father has taught us. He said, if you do, when the storms come and the floods come and the rain beats down on you and the wind's blowing, he said, your house won't be shaken. In Luke's account of this illustration, Luke begins by saying, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? That's a viable question. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? A lot of people want to call Jesus Savior, but they hesitate to call him Lord. Or as Jesus said, you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. The implication of that is, then Jesus is not your Lord. That seems kind of hard. Jesus said, if you don't do what I say, number one, it proves you don't love me. You can talk about love all you want, but you don't really love me from your heart. And he said, you don't have a right to call me Lord. If you call me Lord, but you refuse to obey me, I'm not your Lord. In this chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was teaching the people, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I talked about, when we talked about belief, you'll talk to people, say, all you got to do is believe. But if you ask them to define believe, they usually can't. Well, just believe. Well, I can believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. That doesn't make it so. We found out when the Bible talks about believe, it's to lean in, to commit to put your full trust in. And Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a shock to some people. He said, many will say to me on that day, but Lord, I cast out demons. I did all these wonderful works in your name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity or practice lawlessness. You who live as though there is no law. You who live as though God has no authority in your life. You who live as though I'm not really your Lord. Jesus said, those who enter the kingdom of heaven will be those who do the will of the Father. James said, if you're only a hearer of the word and you don't do the word, you don't obey the word, he said, you're self-deceived. My dad used to tell me, it's a bad thing to lie to other people, but it's worse to lie to yourself. I've seen that, and I was guilty of it. Back when I was in the drug culture, I think, I don't have a problem. I could quit this anytime. I don't need these drugs. But the fact was, I did the drugs to feel normal. And it wasn't until I reached a point in my life that I thought, I do have a problem. That's when I called out to Jesus Christ and said, you need you to do something, or I'm going to die. That's called humility, by the way. I'm not boasting on myself. I'm saying I had to reach these same places that I'm telling you you have to reach. Jesus said, it's not enough to call me Lord and do whatever you want. If you're going to call me Lord, you're going to do exactly what I want you to do. You're going to do the will of the Father. You're not going to take my commandments lightly. You're going to do what I say. Luke says that Jesus said, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The Apostle Paul said, there's no other foundation can be laid than the one that is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is our rock. He is the stone the builders rejected, who has become the chief cornerstone. That was the most important stone in a building, because if it had any stress fractures in it, any weaknesses, and the builders missed it, the ones who inspected it, it could cause the whole building to collapse. The building would not be strong. And Jesus Christ is the foundation. And Jesus said, this man will dig down deep and lay that foundation on solid rock. Now then they had to do that. Now we have concrete. And if you're familiar with construction, you dig and pour a concrete footing with rebar in it, reinforcement bar, and get that solid footing. Then you build your foundation on that footing. If you try to do it any other way, guess what? Your building isn't going to stand. As the earth settles, the foundation begins to settle. Walls begin to tilt in or out. Stress is put on the building, and eventually, as Jesus said, it's going to collapse. And Jesus said it's the same way with life. You got to build your house on the rock. And as I said, he didn't say, and if the storms come, he says, when they come, you're going to face opposition in this life if you decide to follow Jesus Christ. What Jesus say? You just hang on and your house will stand. That's good news. It is to me. You can beat against me, you can rain on me, you can send a flood of trouble my way, but my house stands because it's founded on Jesus Christ. He defeated the world. You remember? He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, and that word tribulation, trouble, means anguish and grief, but he said, be of good cheer, I overcame the world. And you can overcome the world through Jesus Christ. I've heard people say over the years, well, Jesus never claimed to be divine, never claimed to be God. You're missing it. When you read the word, you're not getting it. Jesus usurped the same authority at this time that he was teaching as God did when he gave Israel the law. We see from both accounts that Jesus, again, I'm going to reiterate on this, he didn't say if the storms come, he says when. And he says if we obey his teachings, we'll stand. If we do not obey his teaching, then we'll fall, and great will be the fall. God is a merciful God. If you're a Christian, a professed believer, and you're away from God, he's right where you left him. I'm telling you that because I had a guy who told me that years ago. I was backslid, I was miserable, and I ended up in a bar. He used to drink, and I thought, well, I'll get a little comfort out of drinking. And I sat in there drinking, and it was at a party for a place I worked. And this guy was always singing hymns at work, you know, just happy. And he walked up and started talking to me. And we got talking about music. And he said, what kind of music do you like? And I mentioned some Christian artists. He goes, oh, you're a Christian. And I said, do I look like a Christian? And he said, brother, you just need to go back to the cross. Boy, that hit me like a 2x4 right between the eyes. He said, God's right where you left him. You're the one that walked away from him. He didn't walk away from you. And he said, he's merciful. He's waiting for you to come back. But you have to come back. He's not going to grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you back in protest. You have to want to come back. It's the same thing with obeying God. We have to do it from a heart of love, not duty. Or we're going to be like that kid in that story. We're going to say, God, I might be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. I'd like to do what I want to do, but I don't want to be punished. That's the wrong motivation. Do you love the Lord? Do you love his word? Do you think that he has your best interest at heart? Yeah, so do I. So in that sense, it should be easy to obey him, shouldn't it? If we trust him, it should be easy. We should know that he's got our best interest at heart. Paul said if he does have to chastise us, punish us, it's because he doesn't want to judge us with the world. But you know what that tells me? If we refuse to obey, we will be judged with the world. I've had some Christians tell me, Christians will not be at the white throne judgment. You're wrong. John said, I saw all the dead, great and small, standing before the judgment seat, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus promised the churches in Revelation that he would not blot their name out of the book of life. They didn't have erasers back then. They took ink and blotted over stuff they wanted to cover. Don't tell me Christians won't stand before the white throne judgment. Christian, you'll be there. And what's going to matter is, did you obey him? Did you do what he asked you to do? As Jesus said, only those who do the will of the Father are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no wiggle room there. Now, I'm not perfect, and I hope you don't think I'm implying that. I'm not perfect. I still struggle. I still have issues that I have to work through, just like everybody in this room. But the Word of God's black and white. Don't listen to the world. It sickens me that I hear of churches performing gay marriages and condoning the gay lifestyle. Well, society's changed. We accept that now. God doesn't. God said that's a hateful thing to me. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And people seem to think they have wiggle room with that. Or it's okay for Christians to lie. Everybody lies. I've heard that. Well, everybody lies. What God say? Liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Black and white. Good and evil. If God pronounces something evil, it hasn't changed. It will not change. That's the confidence that you and I can place in him and in this word to say, you said it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. That's the obedience that he calls for. It's not always easy. It often requires a change in the way we think. It always requires a commitment to trust him with everything we have and say, I'm putting this in your hands. Your opinion and $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee in most cafes. Yeah. Jesus said, you must obey what I'm telling you. You must listen attentively. You must do what I'm telling you, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you do what I tell you, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. And God says in the scriptures, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it's never entered into the heart of man the things that he has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine what it's like. That's what I'm striving for. I hope that's what you're going to strive for. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here today and you're backslidden, you know it. Nobody has to tell you that. Make it right. I'm not asking you to come up here and bawl and squall, make a spectacle. Make it right with the Lord. Confess that to him. Say, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not obeying you. I'm not following you. But I want to. God will welcome you back with open arms. We have the guarantee of that in the scriptures. If you're here and you've never accepted what he's done for you, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, do that. Don't put it off. Don't harden your heart against God. If he's telling you to do something, do it. And you'll find a peace you've never had. Jesus Christ came to save all sinners. Nobody's excluded. The vilest of sinners can be white as snow in God's eyes if they receive what he did. If they realize that's the only sacrifice there is for sins.